The world is chaos. I mean, it always has been, but it seems like it's just never ending in this past year, where it's chaos on top of chaos, violence with a violent response. But it's not just the news, right? Because we could say, like, okay, stop reading the news. If the worldwide news is too much for you, then maybe just focus on national news. Oh, a lot of chaos there. Maybe not national news. Maybe just local news. Oh, turns out there's a lot of crime too. Okay, maybe don't focus on the news. Just focus on your family. Yeah. There's a lot of chaos there too. There's a lot of tension, a lot of strife. Sometimes we're more vicious to our family members than we are to distant political figures. Okay, maybe not our families. Just focus on yourself. Have you ever had the experience of having your car radio not work and you have to be alone with your thoughts? Oh my gosh, you realize there's a lot of chaos up here and in here as well. So what do we do? How do we deal with all of this chaos around and within us? Perhaps the better question is, what does God do with chaos? Because this isn't the first time that he's encountered chaos. In fact, we get some hints of what God does with chaos in our readings today. First, we read in the psalm, "The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The Lord over vast waters. The voice of the Lord is mighty. The voice of the Lord is majestic." Now here, when Scripture speaks, especially in the Old Testament, of waters, we think of tranquil waters, a nice symbol of life. That's not all that water symbolized for Israel. No, for Israel, water was a great symbol of death and of chaos as well. Because men would go out to sea and never be heard from again. There was this great unknown. You didn't quite know what was beneath the water. And so it was actually a source of chaos and fear. When it says that the Lord, the voice of the Lord is over the waters, it's not these peaceful, calm waters. It's this torrential flood that you don't know where it's going to take you. But the voice of the Lord is over those waters. And what is this a reference to? Well, it's actually a reference to the very first words in Scripture. Right? In the first book of Scripture, Genesis, we read, let me find it. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." That word there that means the Spirit of God is also a wind or the breath of God. That he breathed. He had his voice go over the waters that were without form and void. Another way to put that is they were all chaos. And so into chaos, he brought order. And that's what he's done throughout the centuries since. Is that chaos, when given to him, can be ordered. When kept from him, it will never have order. And that's the crazy thing about us and our chaos. Whether it be in our hearts, in our families, or in our society, we think, I have to fix this, and then I'll give it to God. Instead of realizing, I am incapable of fixing this, but he is able to breathe order into chaos. Just as powerfully as at the dawn of creation, his voice hovered over the waters of chaos and brought order, took what was without form and void and shaped it into something beautiful, so he can do with my chaotic little life. But he goes even deeper. Because he doesn't want to just from a distance bring order into chaos but not get his hands dirty. No, the very feast that we celebrate today is of a God who goes deeper. Of a God who was not content with just letting his voice hover over the waters, but instead had his eternal word, Jesus Christ, enter into the waters. What does that mean? That means he entered into our chaos. He doesn't just see it and fix it from a distance. No, he enters into the very chaos of our lives, and that's actually symbolized beautifully by the River Jordan. Has anybody ever been able to see the River Jordan, maybe gone on pilgrimage to the Holy Land? It's not impressive. It's dirty. It's like the Rio Grande. And you think this is where the Son of God entered into these waters? He couldn't find nicer waters? You even hear in the Old Testament, there's a prophet that tells this man to bathe 7 times in the river. And he's like, this is in this river? Like, I have cleaner rivers where I'm from. But there's a beauty there. That God enters into the chaos, into the mess, into the muck, and into the grime where we are, so we're not there alone. Right? He didn't need to enter into the waters of baptism. No, the waters needed to be purified by him. So he entered into our chaos so that when we, in our chaos, meet him in the waters of baptism, we could be lifted up out of the muck. To where even if it surrounds us, we realize we have a deeper identity than all of that. Right? Because too often we think, oh man, I got a whole lot of crazy in here, and that's who I am. Or my family is really messed up, and that's who I am. Or I think my community, my country, the human race, and all of it fills me with just this distaste. But that's not where your deepest identity is. No, your deepest identity is revealed in the words that our Lord heard when he came up out of the waters. What is it that the voice said? You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. We were in the waters of chaos. Jesus entered into that chaos, sanctified those waters, and then through the waters of baptism, brought us up to his level, to where we can look upon all of this chaos and not be trapped by it, not overwhelmed, but realize, okay, there's hope. We can deal with this. I might not be able to fix everything, but I know that all of this is not more powerful than the God who has called me his son or his daughter. Because what happened when Jesus came up out of the waters? Very beautiful thing. It says, on coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. The heavens were torn open. So after God enters into our chaos, there's this violent image of what happens above. The heavens are rent asunder, torn open. And do you know the word that is used for torn open? The word is schizo. Like schism or schizophrenia, a kind of violent image. It's only used one other time in the Gospel of Mark. And that is in the 15th chapter, the scene of the crucifixion. We're up on Calvary and we hear, and Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, the curtain in the temple that was there torn in two, that was like the tabernacle right there. That's as if it were saying the tabernacle was opened. Because to get to that Holy of Holies, that place where God's presence dwelt, almost nobody could enter into there. Only the high priest, and only once a year. So there was still this distance between God and his people. And at the crucifixion, when God entered into not just our chaos, not just our suffering, but all the way into our death, when he went that far into the human condition with that supreme act of love, heaven was torn asunder and we were able to enter in. We were able to finally have communion with the God who transcends all of the chaos of this world. And that God who allows us access to himself calls us his sons and daughters. And the question for us is, what does that change for me? Because it could be all well and good. I can leave this church today and say, it's great, I'm a son or daughter of God. What is that going to mean for me lived out? It's going to look a little different for each of us. But I pray that it means that we don't feel trapped and overwhelmed by the chaos around and within us. But instead realize, in my deepest identity as a son or daughter of God, I have what it takes to get through it. Might not be able to fix the world, but you know, I can cling to Christ a little bit better. I can realize that I was made for more than this world. I can realize that no matter what the chaos, I have this anchor in my relationship with the Lord. And so, this early on in the year, I can recommit myself to clinging to that anchor in the midst of all the chaos. Because God wants us, in the midst of all of the craziness, to be able to have the peace of each day hearing and knowing and truly believing those words that he spoke to his son and he speaks to each of us. So that every day in prayer, we can be reminded that our Heavenly Father looks at us with love and says to us, "You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. In you, I am well pleased."